Please rise for the order of confession and forgiveness. We begin in remembrance of our baptism, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our opening hymn is God of Grace and God of Glory. Be seated. Good morning and welcome to worship. It's good to see you made it here safely today. And I do want to remind you, as you leave the front steps here, there are patches of ice on those steps. So please go safely, or else use the elevator or even the basement steps, I think, are a little better. Ash Wednesday does begin this week, so on Wednesday we will have services in the morning in the Fellowship Hall at 10 o'clock, and then here in the sanctuary at 7 p.m. And I'd also like to mention we will have the drive-through open for those who wish to come for the drive-through communion this morning. We'll be out there until about 10:15. Does anybody else have announcements this morning? Other announcements? Okay. If not, then we continue with the greeting in Kyrie. Please rise. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Pray together the prayer of the day. Almighty God, on the mountain you showed your glory in the transfiguration of your Son. Give us the vision to see beyond the turmoil of our world and to behold the King in all his glory. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Our first lesson comes from 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The company of prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Be silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them, as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. The water was parted to the one side and to the other until the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." He responded, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into the heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. The word of the Lord. We'll read Psalm 50 in unison. The Lord, the God of gods, has spoken. He has called the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion, perfect in its beauty, God reveals himself in glory. Our God will come and will not keep silence. Before him there is a consuming flame, and round about him a raging storm. He calls the heavens and the earth from above to witness the judgment of his people. Gather before me my loyal followers, those who have made a covenant with me and sealed it with sacrifice. Let the heavens declare the rightness of his cause, for God himself is judge. The second lesson is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. Six days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever had an experience in your life that you knew that was a life-changing experience? Something happened, and from that point on, your life changed to a certain extent. Maybe it was the birth of your first child. You knew all of a sudden, I've got someone who is I am responsible for their life. Or maybe it was in military service. At some point in that military service, you knew that you were going to be changed for the rest of your life. Or maybe it was at a time of a crisis, a death of someone very important in your family. And you knew at that time then that you would have to change things. You would have to do things much differently than you ever did before. Or maybe it was at a spiritual weekend. In that weekend or in that retreat, God spoke to you in a certain way, which lifted you up and gave you a new commitment to follow Jesus Christ. Here in our gospel lesson today, the disciples have one of these events that happen in their lives, that their lives are changed. The transfiguration is, we usually think of Jesus being changed, being transformed, being transfigured. He became the glory of God shown all around him. But it was also the disciples who were changed in that event. This event takes place, it's a turning point in Mark's gospel. Mark is always such an interesting gospel to follow along because it moves very quickly. There seems to be a sense of urgency about Mark's gospel that's going on. Up until this point, Jesus has been up in the Galilee area, ministering to people, teaching them, preaching, healing, casting out demons. He's been doing his ministry up there in northern Israel, northern Palestine. And at this point then, right before this story then, Jesus makes his first predictions, or he lets his disciples know that he is going to Jerusalem, that he is going to suffer many things, he is going to die, and on the third day, raise again. Peter wasn't ready to hear it, and he says, "No, Lord, we're not going to let that happen to you." And Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." And then Jesus goes on to tell them that they too will be suffering many things in their life. Now, the disciples up to this point had seen the glory of God in Jesus in a different way. They had heard his teachings and his preachings. They had seen the healings that he had done, the other miracles that he had done. But here on this mountaintop, they actually got to see Jesus' true form with that glory of God shining all around him. The disciples didn't know what to do. Peter asked, "Should we build three dwelling places or three shrines or three tents, three shelters for Jesus, Moses, and Elijah?" They didn't know what to say. They didn't know what to do. I think maybe they wanted to stay there. This was such a grand opportunity to see such important figures all together in one spot. But it wasn't to be. This story has implications from the past. It's very much tied to that history of God in the life of Israel, of Moses, who is the lawgiver. And there's kind of a reference there too, because as Moses came down from the mountain, he also glowed when he brought the law back down to the people. After meeting face to face with God, that glory of God
clung to Moses as well then too as he came down that mountain. Moses was the lawgiver. He had spoke face to face with God, and God gave him the law, which tells what God expects of people and how they are to live their life. It's to protect that relationship between God and to protect that relationship with each other so that they could live in harmony. And then, too, on that mountaintop of the Transfiguration was Elijah. He represents the prophets, and Elijah himself was a reformer. Elijah came at a time when Israel was not doing very good. Many of the kings were corrupt. Also, too, a lot of the temple prophets were corrupt, and Elijah spoke truly to that truth of God. And he was trying to bring the people back to true worship in God. And so you had Jesus and Moses, the giver of law, and you had Elijah, one of the major prophets, all talking together. And it was a turning point then in this story of Mark, in this whole story of Mark, because from this point on then, Jesus heads towards Jerusalem. So it's not only bringing all that past to this point, but it's also for looking to the future. Because from this point on then, we're in chapter 9. This begins chapter 9. The story is at the beginning of chapter 9. And then Jesus goes back one more time to Capernaum in that Galilee region. But then he hits the road. The stories after that, he's on the road until he gets down to Judea and Jericho. And then in chapter 11, he enters into Jerusalem for that final time. Jesus is heading towards Jerusalem from this point. He makes two more predictions to the disciples of what's going to happen when he gets there. And he looks forward to that. That's where his focus is at this point. For us, maybe you have gone through one of those experiences, through an experience that just uplifted you and knew that God was present in your life. And it makes a difference. Hopefully, on Sundays when you come to worship, or on Saturdays when you come to worship then too, there's a taste of that, I hope, within your lives then too, as we hear the word and also as we share in the Lord's Supper, to have that renewal once again, that strengthening of our faith, that gift of the Holy Spirit that comes into us. Maybe also too, on another note then, as you go through daily devotions, as you say your prayers, as you read scripture, or as you read Christian material, that too is also uplifting and strengthening and helps you continue on in your faith. We have those experiences within our lives. And we look to our past to see, maybe you grew up in a Christian home. You look back to see how your parents raised you, and you may have had those experiences along the way, the small experiences and maybe large experiences to bring faith to you. But we come to a point then too where we start looking at that cross. We move at this point today, we move into Lent on Wednesday. And our focus turns to that cross. It turns to Jesus Christ in his passion of what he did for us in bringing about salvation. On this mountain of transfiguration, not only is Jesus transformed, but the disciples are transformed as well. God also moves through us, through the Holy Spirit, into us to change us and bring us into his kingdom. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn, "How Good, Lord, to Be Here."
Thank you.
Please rise for the confession of faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. With gratitude for the gift of Christ, let us draw near to our Heavenly Father in prayer, asking his mercy for the church, the world, and all who need his loving kindness. Let your Son rule gloriously in the church throughout the world, through its words and deeds. Shed the light of Christ, forgiveness, and mercy on all who need them. Make the church your new Zion, so that many are drawn to perfection of Christ's beauty and are saved. Lord, in your mercy. Shed the light of Jesus' love on Christians who suffer at the hands of others for his sake. Let that holy love touch, purify, and transform those who persecute them. Lord, in your mercy. Give grace to this congregation. Let all who gather here in Jesus' name day by day see him more clearly, love him more dearly, and follow him more nearly. Lord, in your mercy. We ask a special blessing on little children, not only those dear to us, but each of them throughout the world. Shelter them from every evil. Shine the light of your love upon them. Give them the grace to hear Jesus' voice in our words and see his face in our deeds. Lord, in your mercy. Moses, the lawgiver, and Elijah, the prophet, bore witness to your Son, the King of the nations. Grant their wisdom and righteousness to the leaders of this world. Help them use authority with wisdom and integrity. Help them to lead their people into paths of justice, righteousness, and peace. Lord, in your mercy. Clothe in the armor of light all who risk their lives to protect the innocent and to defend liberty and justice. Grant that all they do may serve your purpose. Help us to honor their service, care for their wounds, support their families, and rejoice when their tasks are completed. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for you to shed the light of your strong saving love upon all who sit in darkness and shadows of pain, fear, loneliness, despair, or sorrow. Especially we name before you Lori Nelson Stinger, Tally Brown, Lois Kelch, and the families of Lily Mae Metting, Alan Joyce Baker, and Laverne Weishwill. Lord, in your mercy. Father, through the passion, death, and resurrection of your Son, you bestow the imperishable light of your glory to all who die trusting in you. We commend into your keeping our departed loved ones. Bring us to that day when, with all the redeemed, we gaze upon his face and worship him in the splendor of light and life, which he shares with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Lord, in your mercy. Graciously hear and generously answer our prayers and petitions, dear Father, as may be best for us and to your greater glory, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We continue with the offering. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Merciful God, in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you embrace our lives with your great love for humanity.
With joy and gladness, we ask that these gifts may be
for many a sign of that love,
and that we may continue to share in your divine life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who, sharing our life, lived among us to reveal your glory and love, that our darkness should give way to your own brilliant light. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come, for all is ready. Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O God, and unite the wills of those whom you have fed with one heavenly food. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace.
Amen.
We sing the hymn, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.